We've already broached it a little bit, very little, a couple of different times, both in call to worship and particularly with Tara speaking about all the announcements and stuff. What happened to you yesterday and the night before?
New Year's Eve.
Very good. New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. When people make resolutions, how many people have made resolutions in the past? Yes? Okay, if somebody does not raise their hand, I'm going to question you on that. Because you've lived however many years of your life, and you've never made a resolution on New Year's. Everybody's made a resolution. You've resolved to do something. How many of you have kept your resolutions, and it actually changed your life? Yes? Outstanding. Anybody else? Yes? Yeah. Very good. That's actually more, that's a higher percentage than I figured we would have. Most people, they do something, they make a resolution, and it changes them for a little while. It could be a day, that's a lot of people. It could be a week, a couple weeks, a month. It could be a couple months. The thing is, when you start getting into that couple months, you're changing your life. It's becoming habit. It's becoming a new norm. And so when you actually make that resolution and it lasts that long, you have made not only the attempt, but you've actually started to change your life. Now, I gave up resolutions years and years and years and years and years ago.
Successful.
That was a resolution. It wasn't on New Year's. It was previous to New Year's, but it's actually a very good point. It was one of those things I looked at and went, you know, why should I keep trying to do these things when I can do this any time? It doesn't have to be on New Year's. And why am I going to set myself up for failure? We'll hold on to that. We're going to shelve that. So just keep that in the back of your head. A lot of you guys know that I like to read. I love reading. I love fiction. It's fun. It's my escape. Generally, every year, right around this time, I will read two series of books that I thoroughly enjoy. I've read them well into the double digits, let's put it that way. Harry Potter series, all seven books, loved them. Huh?
Lord of the Rings?
No. Kind of close. Contemporary of J.R.R. Tolkien. C.S. Lewis. Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. And it's not that I necessarily only read them for the end of the book. I read them because I enjoy the journey. I enjoy the stories that are presented. They're fun to me. And while I can read them and my perspective changes, I like the story. The story is fun. A lot of people do the same thing with movies. How many of you guys have watched movies more than once? Why do you watch them more than once? Because you like it. Something is enjoyable. You identify with something in the movie. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing, but you make that identification with what you're seeing. You have fun with it. It's like, oh, I want to see that again. I love to serve with love. Some of you guys know that reference, and some of you will go, huh? Sidney Poitier, back in the 60s. Loved that movie. Watched it as a kid. Had a huge impact on me. I was a kid. I wasn't a teacher. I'm white. He's black. That is part of the character of him. That's what he's struggling with partially. Not completely, but that's a partial interaction that he has with his students. Don't know why it struck me, but I love that movie.
What movie was it?
To Sir with Love. Mid-60s. Sidney Poitier. And British pop star. That was her first movie. It introduced her to society. So there are movies that I watch over and over, just like I read books, certain books. This morning's message is from Philippians. So if you have your Bibles, please open them. If you don't have your Bibles, please use your phone. Because we are going to be doing a lot of reading. Well, I will be doing a lot of reading. I would like you to read along with me. So Philippians, we're going to start at chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. I love the fact that Paul starts this off with, rejoice in the Lord. This is not a problem for me to say the same things again. Seeing as how most of you here are Christians. Most of you have been Christians for a while. It is not a troublesome thing for me to say these things again. It is not troublesome to go back over Philippians 3. It's joyful to me. I like this story. I like what Paul is saying. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. That can be construed as a boast, but it can also just be construed as making a plain statement, a statement of facts. Paul was a Jew. He was zealous. He was legalistic. He was a Pharisee. He did all the right things. As for school, Harvard. As for law, Harvard Law. As for extracurricular activities, was on the law review team, clerked for Supreme Court. It's just a statement of credentials. He's got credentials. He's got big credentials. So he's letting or reminding them, he's either letting them know or reminding them, this is the stuff I have. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For it was my job. I will dump my degrees. I will dump my reputation. It would be easier for me than I would say it would be for Paul. Because he stepped into it after all of this. Now he knows, you know what? All of that doesn't even matter anymore. Imagine working for 20 or 30 years, and everything you work for, all of a sudden you just give up and go, you know what? Jesus is better than all of this, and I don't need all of this. That's a big statement. That would be tough. I can't imagine what he lost. Because I've not been in that position for one. But that's huge. But he's saying that Christ is more important to him than any of that. And cumulatively, all of that. Big statement. Not that I have already obtained all this, referring back to what he just mentioned about becoming like Christ even into his death. Not that I have already obtained all this, or I've already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of strain me towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take a view of such things. And if on some point you think differently, on that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Doesn't mean stop trying. Doesn't mean that you don't have a view of things. You keep bringing it to the Lord. He changes your views. He changes your situations. He changes your circumstances. He changes what goes on between your ears. There's been many, many times that's happened in my life. I would venture to say that's happened in your guys' lives as well. You thought one way, and it goes, uh-uh. You go, oh, okay. You change your view. You're thinking one way, and God goes, how about this over here? Oh, okay. You change your view. Join with others in following my example. Take note of those who live accordingly to the pattern He gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their shame. As I was reading that, sorry guys, I thought of reality TV right there. Their glory is their shame. What makes reality TV so entertaining to most people?
Drama.
Huh?
Drama.
The drama. But it's the fact that it's not just drama, it's drama exponentiated. It's, I'm going to go so over the top with how poorly I behaved that people are going to be enticed to see this, and that's my glory. Really? I get the stomach for their God as their stomach. I get that. I get the idea of wanting to eat and needing to eat and being driven. I understand that. But the glory is their shame. That kind of tweaked me a little bit when I read that one. I get it. I see it. But I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. Reality TV generally doesn't make sense to me. But that just happened across my brain when I saw that. I'm like, wow, okay. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. It's fun to see this and to reread this again. Sometimes I consider myself mature. I'm older than a lot of you. I'm younger than some of you. Yes, I was looking at Kenny. But it's one of those things that there is maturity across all generations. We can look at somebody who's old. Some of you guys may have relatives that are this way. You look at them and you go, you're old. You should be mature. Why are you not mature? Why do you think and act like a child? And this is not because they're old and have reverted to that, because they're old. This is those who just stay as children. They haven't matured in how they act, how they address people, how they address situations. They stay very young and not in a good way. So look to those who are mature. Look to those who have been around and been doing this and have changed throughout their life. You'll know because you'll have seen them change the longer you know them. Look at yourself. I'm hoping. Are you the same person you were a year ago? Are you the same person you were 5 years ago? 10 years ago? I certainly hope not. Because if you are, there's probably other issues you got going on. You're gonna have to grow up at some point. But you are changing. Yes, Chief.
Oh, I was this close to wearing my Scooby-Doo shirt that I got for Christmas this year.
That's reverting back to your childhood in remembrance, though. That's not living as a child. So, but I do like that. I did like Scooby-Doo. The original Scooby-Doo with Casey Kasem doing one of the voices, or multiple voices. Paul then goes on in chapter 4 to exhort the Philippians. Now, the first part of this is very specific. He's addressing specific people. I always get a little bit weirded out when I see this in the Bible. It's like forgetting that this letter was to a specific group. So if I addressed a letter to Calvary Chapel back in the 80s, it could have been, and remember Chuck Smith, and remember this other person over here, and at the time, Adam Harris. Remember Adam. It's like, now, if I had written that letter back in the 80s, and you were reading it now, some of you would look at it and go, hey, I knew that person, or I remembered them. 100 years from now, they'd look at it and go, who? Well, not so much the Chuck Smith part, because he was one of the founders, it seemed like, but it was one of those, it's to a specific person, or a person is being addressed. But there's also a blanket encouragement that's here. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Sounded like he wanted to list them. I'm guessing there were many of them, and he didn't want to continue going on as a list. So he cherry-picked this person, this other person, and the others who helped. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. So, he's referring back here to what the very first verse was in chapter 3, earlier in his letter. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice one thing that is not in here. When he says, present your requests, your petitions to the Lord, doesn't say God's going to give you them. He says God's going to give you the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Does he answer prayers? Absolutely. Does he answer them regularly? Absolutely. Might not be the answer you want. It might not be the thing that you're looking for, the person you're looking for. It might not be. But the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You're still supposed to request. You're still supposed to present them. Appropriately, with thanksgiving, it's a good thing. Just realize what you think you want, God might not say, yeah, right on. He might say, but I'll give you my peace. As a single person, that's 50, I can guarantee you this is something that I've wrestled with over the years. So, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That is a whole lot of stuff that's hard to do with our entertainment. And let's face it, most of us live to be entertained. I know I do a lot of times. I want to go home. I want to watch TV. I want to go to the movies. I want to read a book. My downfall. necessarily praiseworthy things. I want to be entertained. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Very specific and yet very general. It's kind of an odd thing. It's very difficult sometimes to both be specific and general. Paul's a master at it. But he gives us very specific things to think on, to ruminate on, which if any of you guys did that over the course of the last week as you're ending the year, you watched on TV, in the newspaper, on social media, you probably saw a bunch of O2s for the year, like people who have passed away over the course of the last year, entertainers and whatnot. Oh, so-and-so died. Oh, so-and-so died. Read this, was it this morning or yesterday morning? Betty White died. Like, wow, she's going to be 100 next week or in 2 weeks. They're just celebrating her, approaching her 100th birthday last week in the newspaper. Actual physical newspaper, yes, I was reading it. But they're bringing that up, and she's going to be 100. Wow. She's going to hit a milestone that most people never get close to. 2 weeks before it happens, she's gone. Okay, so there's a whole write-up on Betty White, who she was, what she did, etc. So there's a lot of rumination that goes on, particularly at the end of the year. You're thinking back on things. Think back on the things that the Lord has done for you this year. Think on the good things that He has given to you. Think about places that He's taken you from. The adversities that He's overcome for you. Thanks for their gifts. Paul's now going to be thanking the Philippians. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Meaning, they're giving him money. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I was looking at this and going, okay, that's nice. Paul's thanking them for the gifts that they've given him. And even noting that they were the only church that did that. It's like, you want to feel special? Have somebody like Paul address you and say, Jeremy, you did a really good thing. Love the fact that you gave me this money. Stoked on it. In fact, when nobody else is able to, you were able to. Thank you very much. It makes you feel special. I might have just embarrassed him, but it's the idea that Paul is including them, but he's also kind of singling them out. It's like, hey, you guys are doing a great job. Thank you very much. And I've learned, whether I have it or not, to be okay with it. But I'm amply supplied now. You've sent this. Now, as I was reading, the last part of that really caught me. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. That's the idea of Jehovah Jireh. That is a Jewish God. these people are not Jewish. So he's actually, he may have introduced the idea at some prior point or discussed with them, but by that emphasis, by that inclusion, it's like, you guys are part of this. God will take care of you. He will meet your needs. Notice it doesn't say wants, it says needs. When somebody determines what those needs are, being God. So these things are not tiresome for me to bring up again. Most of you have probably read this. You've probably read this 100 times, maybe even more, maybe 1,000 times. I'm guessing you've probably read it even more than most people. I know you have. It's not tiresome to bring this stuff up. It's a reminder. This is what generally happens at this time of year. It's cyclic. It happens every year. You ruminate over the past year. You look forward to what's coming up. You make resolutions. You don't make resolutions. As I mentioned earlier, the thing with resolutions, and Tara actually mentioned as well, is that you can make those anytime. New Year's Eve is generally a time when people think about it, but what's wrong to say, you know what, I'm really tired of this sin that I've had. I decided to change today. Lord, I'm giving this to you. I've been angry at this person for this many years. Lord, I want to change today. I give this to you. Lord, I've been anxious about how I'm supposed to pay my rent for the last 16 months. I change. I want to discard that. I want to give that to you. You can do it at any time. It doesn't have to be January 1st. It's the idea of taking it to the Lord, letting Him have it. Resolutions aren't necessarily that thing. You resolve to do something, take it to the Lord, and it's, what was it? His mercies
are new
every morning. Okay, so you take it before the Lord. You confess. You're resolving not to do that again. Really? Aren't you? If you confess, is it your intent to go sin again? Probably not. It's like, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person again. Help me change. Help me be more like you. You're resolving to do something. Cool. The fun thing with resolutions is that as you grow, as you mature, well, as you grow and as you get older, and hopefully as you mature, they change. Because, again, what you resolve now is not what you have resolved 5 years ago. It's not what you have resolved 10 years ago. The way I read the Chronicles of Narnia when I was a child has changed to how I read it today. It doesn't mean that I don't enjoy the story or enjoy the book. I totally do. But how I read it, based on my life experiences, my understanding of people in the world, has changed. Same thing with Harry Potter, books, but to a lesser extent. Because C.S. Lewis is speaking a lot of Christian truth in his stories, as opposed to just generalized moralistic ideas. But I've changed. I change as I review these. As I review this, I change. I see it differently. Let's continue to change. Let's continue to resolve. Again, it doesn't have to be the big, woo, I resolve to lose weight. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop whatever. It's, I want to look at, taste, smell more like Christ. His life is what I want. Obviously, He died. That's why we get to do this. But he also rose, which is a promise for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being there, for being our God, for being our provider. We thank you that you don't get tired of us. Lord, we want to change. We want to be like you. We want to look like you. We want to reflect you. We want to mature in you. We want to be people that look and taste and smell of you. That those who are younger in you can look and go, you know what? I want to be like them. I want to be like that person. So Lord, we commit our lives to you. We resolve to be more like you today. Please move in us. In your son's name. Amen.